Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates, and it's great to be here with you tonight. Plenty of things to get into. An off night in the NHL and the NBA. With Game 6 set for tomorrow night between the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks, this game in Indiana. A must-win, perhaps, you could say, for the Pacers. I don't know about that. We'll see. We'll discuss that. The Stanley Cup Final is set. A familiar one. It's the same one that it was a year ago. But we may be expecting a different winner this time around. And there is a big series in baseball this weekend. The Yankees and the Dodgers, the series that captured our attention for five games because it was shorter than we wanted it to be, but it's the World Series rematch. It's a rematch of the series that has been the World Series the most amount of times in baseball's history, and plenty of people maybe not even sure or aware that they were even playing this weekend. Should it feel like a bigger deal? How can it feel like a bigger deal? Some things we'll get into later tonight, along with, let me keep going down the shot sheet here, as it were, along with some college football and maybe basketball playoff changes and Kansas City Chiefs under a dome, question mark. We could see what may happen there. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. But again, night off in the NHL and the NBA with everything set except for one series. We had all four series at a 3-1 mark, and we wondered, could any of these go seven? Well, only one of them is going six, and that is the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. And again, game six will be tomorrow night on TNT. This is a series that has been pretty tight. About four of the five games really could have gone either way in this one. And the Knicks are trying to do something that is rarely done, and that's come back from a 3-1 deficit. They are, in NBA playoff history, the 297th team to face a 3-1 deficit. In the first 296 times, only 13 of them have come back to win the series. So not very good odds. That's about a 4.3% success rate. Now, how about the teams that had that game five at home that have been down 3-1? That's the predicament that the Knicks are in. They're down 3-1, but game five's at home, which means game seven would be at home. You still got to go on the road to game six, but game five is at home, and that might be a sort of advantage to at least get it to 3-2. Well, of the 70 teams that have won game five at home when trailing 3-1, 25% of them have gone on to win game six, just to win game six to force a winner take all game seven, about an 18-52 record. So just to get back to game seven in the first place is going to be a pretty monumental challenge. You may think they just have a 1 in 4 shot of getting it done based on the odds historically. Now, the way that the series has been playing out, I would think that Indiana is going to be the team that is going to be favored in this game. They're at home. They play well at home. They have a deep bench, something that the Knicks have been matching. So they have been matching as of late. They've been tinkering around with their lineups in ways that they really haven't done very non-traditional to their season. But the Knicks, at least, just from a sports fan perspective, have given us something to kind of grasp onto this weekend. Otherwise, no hockey. Stanley Cup doesn't start till Wednesday. No basketball, because the NBA Finals doesn't start until Thursday. So we could have had some desolate days. I know there's other things. There's a good slate of WNBA tonight. There's racing. There's fighting. There's soccer. There's baseball. But when you go every night, and maybe you're not plugged in front of the TV with your eyes glued to the LED screen like we are, maybe you're just in passing wanting to follow what's going on. But it's going to feel like all-star breakish. Like, where are the sports? Where are the playoffs? Where did they go? And then we'll get into a nice routine with the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals. Now, Knicks fans excited last night. This was a game where I don't think Indiana did the thing where you're going to go home for game 6. So once you realize, we're probably not going to win this one, you kind of retreat a little bit and rest up for game 6. Once you realize you're not going to win game 5, you kind of rest up and, you know, think about the next game. I don't think they did that. I don't think they did that. So we'll see how this plays out, because they were coming back. They got it to within 10 when they were fouling and doing all this different stuff. And it looked like, oh, no, maybe here we go again. But New York answered the same way that I keep talking about Indiana, where they answer every punch. New York was able to answer every punch. I will definitely pick Marco's brain a little later. Carlos Ortiz residing in New York. How are people feeling? Do they think that there's a chance? Is it more... Have they talked themselves into it? What's the laydown?
You couldn't believe how 50-50 it is around here. Some people were saying that this is just extending the inevitable. Indy's going to smoke them in game 6. And the other half are so far... It's always been Knicks in 7. Bleep the Pacers. Bleep Reggie Miller. Bleep Pat McAfee. There is no middle ground. Either you were Knicks in 7 the whole time, or it's been over, just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, again, what happens in this one. I feel like the Pacers are going to win it.
I feel like they're going to win it, like, early. This is going to be a game 2 situation.
Yeah, it's tough because the Pacers, they're going to have the home crowd behind them. They're going to know that this is the last time they're going to be able to be in front of their home crowd. They were on Inside the NBA last night on TNT, and one of the things that Charles Barkley was saying was they need to win in game 6 or they're going to be smoked in game 7.
This game in Indiana.
Everybody says series don't start till you lose a home game. That's what most people say. He says that other thing. But the Pacers are still in control. But I will say this.
Say it. Say it.
Boy, say it.
If they don't win game 6,
they're going to come back to New York. It is a must win for the Pacers.
Wow.
Because if they come back here, they're going to get another ass kicking like they did tonight.
I'm not sure about that, though, either. I think if they lose game 6, they could still come back and win game 7. I know the rosters were different. The teams were different. I do just have the image of the Pacers doing that exact thing to the Knicks last year in the conference semifinals. So... I want to, like, give a prediction. I want to be confident in a prediction. After game 5, or game 4, rather, the Pacers go up 3-1, and we're talking like, okay, Oklahoma City, Indiana, small market kind of thing. And as I've mentioned before, too, when there's a 3-1 lead, for some reason it feels more like if the Pacers would have been 2-2 and then 1, Game 5, now they're 3-2. This would feel like, oh, the Pacers are going to go home and clinch it. But when you're up 3-1, you feel like you're slipping away, even though it rarely happens where teams blow a game 7 or 6 or 5. You do not see it much at all in history. Only 13 times have you seen that, and only 4 times has it been conference finals or later. So it does not happen much. It's not expected to happen again. But it's just like it's two different teams that are... I don't feel like these are the average teams for this kind of scenario either. The Pacers, I can't... This is not what's going to happen. I'm not going to trash the Pacers left and right all the time and then actually give them their props, like their well-deserved props for being a team that can kill momentum, for being a team that can squash runs, for being a team that can make every shot. I'm not going to then realize and admit, yes, they are good, and then have them be bad. And I'm not doing a reverse jinx or nothing. I'm telling you what my eyes see. Oh, this team's pretty good. And the Knicks, it still feels like, they're in a sack race. This is a bad one, where they're running up a hill and the Pacers, it's an empty sack, and the Knicks have a sack of potatoes. Look, it's been a long week.
That is not your best work.
But it does feel like they're dragging more. Okay? It feels like they're dragging more. Here's an interesting stat. You want to know an interesting stat? I saw this on First Things First today. What the Knicks need to do, more than anything, is make sure Tyrese Halliburton misses his first shot. He missed his first shot last night, did not have a big game. This was coming off a night where he made his first shot and had like the best game in playoff history. This is accumulation of the whole season. When he makes his first shot, the Pacers' winning percentage is 71%. They win 71% of the games where he makes his first shot. When he misses his first shot, they only win 60. When he makes his first shot, he has 23 points a game on 53% shooting. When he misses his first shot, he only has 15 points a game on 42% shooting. When he makes his first shot, he then shoots 45% from three. When he misses his first shot, he then shoots 32% from three. So great job by their research department. It's insane that there's that level of variance just based on how a guy gets going. It's the make your first shot totally dictates the game. Like, make your first shot, I'm completely comfortable, let's do this thing. Or miss your first shot, okay, this needs to be a game where I'm maybe more of a passer and a facilitator. That is something that I would see. I mean, I hope Knicks personnel's listening to this show. I hope they watched First Things First today. I hope they see that stat and do everything. Like, if that's really what this is, if it's that big of a mental thing, I mean, you got to blitz this guy, go all out to make sure he misses his first shot. Tyrese Halliburton at the podium yesterday. A couple of things that he says, and he did talk after a loss, so I'll give him credit for that. But one thing they need to do, and maybe this is first shot variance, is they need to pick up the pace.
I think our pace has to be better, and that starts with me. I got to be better there. As a group, we've shown that we can have some success, you know, this playoffs, and it was a rough showing for us tonight. So, you know, we'll watch the film, see where we can get better, and be prepared for game 6.
Again, he barely took any shots. As we noted last night, he took 7 shots, with 5 of those coming up until the middle of the fourth quarter.
Great stat.
Very important mark of, you know, it's a very important marker there. But he only took 7 shots, something that they're going to need to get more out of from him, according to Rick Carlisle.
As a team, we have to be aggressive, and we have to have a level of balance. I mean, you know, I'll look at it. There's more things I'm going to have to do to help them. And so, you know, I'll take responsibility for that, and we'll see where we can improve.
The Knicks, on the other hand, are satisfied with their defense. They did well on offense, but their defense was more aggressive, forcing the Pacers into shots that maybe they didn't want to take, but they had to take out of desperation Deuce McBride talks about the team from that standpoint.
I mean, it started with a point of attack with Mikel, just picking up, making things hard. And then everybody just talking, communicating a lot more. And I feel like we just had an edge to us tonight.
So I think another thing to watch coming up for game six, Saturday night, is what you're seeing here is a shift in what we think we know about Tom Thibodeau. And Tom Thibodeau, if you ask anybody, you know, what is Tom Thibodeau? What is his coaching style? Oh, he tries to, you know, grind you on defense, and he's going to play his starters 46 minutes a night. And he's rarely going to go to the bench. And the guys off the bench are going to play. I mean, you're going to go seven deep. That's about it. And that's how things were going in this series against the Pacers team that does go pretty deep. And not just for funsies. They go deep because they can. One thing about the Pacers is, you know how every team has like that guy, like a Grayson Allen, he comes off the bench and he like annoys you, or Matthew Dellavedova. It's like, and the, you know, there's a TJ McConnell, but the Pacers have like five TJ McConnells. You know, Ben Shepherd's a TJ McConnell, and Benedict Mathurin's a TJ McConnell, and Obi Toppin's a TJ McConnell. Just guys that come off the bench that go 15 minutes and make the big shots, make the big putbacks, make the big threes. That you're not expecting. You go into the game saying, if we lose to Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam, that's okay, but we can't lose to Ben Shepherd. We can't lose with Aaron Nesmith hitting six threes in the fourth quarter. We can't do that, but that is what happens because they've got a well-balanced team and they are pretty deep. Tom Thibodeau is, for his credit, and I think they have to, answering that by going deep himself. Now, are their horses as good as the Pacers' horses? No pun intended. Is Pacers a race car thing or a horse thing? I don't know in this specific situation what it
Ooh,
is.
Ooh, good question.
Either way.
Yeah. Let's say race car.
Yeah, okay, yeah, probably. So definitely no pun intended. No pun even happening. No pun happening is the right phrase. But they have guys that I think, you know, I'd feel more comfortable with Mathurin and even Shepherd than I would Landry Shamet or DeLon Wright. But these are guys now that are getting more time. And Thibodeau even had to go to a 10th guy in Precious Achiuwa because they had some foul trouble and they had to go into the bench. Bench minutes weren't great, but at least it kept the starters fresh a little bit. Shamet had he had 5 points. That was enough to get a standing O. Had a good defensive player too. Same with DeLon Wright. This is not something that they typically do. And it's not they're just doing it because the Pacers are doing it. They're doing it because they have to do it, because when you're rotating like that so frequently and with guys that can go 15, 20 minutes, by the time it's the fourth quarter, Josh Hart is 40 minutes, Mikal Bridges, he's going to be on his 45th minute and he's going to be all tuckered out too. You need to be able to match that. So that's what they're doing. The reserves for the Knicks in the regular season averages 63 minutes a game, the lowest mark for any team in 15 years. And we're just talking about the regular season. The bench barely played. Through game two of this series, the bench only played 52 minutes combined a game. So even less than the regular season. But in the last three games, they're getting about 77 minutes of bench play a night. And this isn't about having a guy come off the bench and scoring 15. This is about making sure that the guys are rested. One of the other big reasons, though, is that the Knicks are getting into foul trouble that they shouldn't be. Karl-Anthony Towns, certainly. Jalen Brunson's been in sticky situations before, so some of it's out of necessity, but some of it's a design that we have to stay healthy or at least up to pace with these guys. Because you saw that. The Pacers, they tuckered out the Cavs. All right? Donovan Mitchell could barely walk at the end of Game 5. Were they subbing not enough? They're just playing such hard defense and with such intensity that it is very difficult. So that's one of the things, too, to watch in Game 6. I've got absolutely no read on this. I think probably 33% that the Knicks are going to win this series. I think 33% that the Pacers are going to win tomorrow. I think 33% that the Knicks win Game 6 and the Pacers win Game 7. Maybe I'll put that one at 34%, but I have no idea. I won't even bet this game with your money. That's how just lost I am at what's going to happen. So excited to just sit back tomorrow night and soak it in and see what we got Monday. We're either talking about the Pacers going to the finals or we're breaking down a game seven on Monday night. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. If they get there, it's the Thunder. So this may all be just for second place. Because the way the Thunder are playing, good luck. We'll take a look at their team's chances should they move on when we come back. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Tyrese Halliburton figured there would be a response. They got a response from the New York Knicks. Winner of this series is going to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And odds makers think that that's an exercise in futility. Now, the Knicks have slightly better odds as of right now if they were to make it out of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Thunder minus 700, the Knicks plus 505. So the Knicks have about a 5-1 chance to win the finals. Against the Pacers, it would be minus 750 for the Thunder, and the Pacers plus 535. They would be the largest favorites in the finals since the 2018 Warriors, and that was when they took on the Cavs for the fourth time in a row, a series that they swept. A series that could have been a lot different if the J.R. Smith LeBron James meme wasn't born, where J.R. Smith got an offensive rebound following a missed free throw and then just dribbled out the half court rather than taking a final shot. Smith thought the Cavs were ahead, although he has denied not knowing the final score. LeBron James so upset after that when he punched a whiteboard and then had a bone contusion the rest of the series, which we, of course, found out after the fact. The Thunder have been dominant. There's no doubt about it. They were great against the Grizzlies. They were great against the Timberwolves. They were pretty good against Denver. Now we got to reconsider just how close Denver was to maybe changing the course of history there. It also brings up another question that I want to get into at some point. If the Mavs didn't trade Luka, they're in the Western Conference Finals, right? And if they didn't trade Luka, come on. You got Luka, you got Kyrie, you trade for maybe one more wing guy. I mean, you got Clay. Now, does Kyrie get hurt? We don't know, but I don't know. They like their window, though. They like their window. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading the way, of course, for the Thunder, doing things that we've really never seen anybody do in the playoffs except for the greats. So, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander right now has 29.9 points a game in the playoffs, and he's got 7 assists per game in the playoffs. His season stats were 32.7 and 6.4. So a few less points, but about a half more assist. There's been 10 times in these playoffs, 10 times, where he's ended a game with 30 or more points and 5 or more assists. 10 times, and there's still a finals yet to go. The record for that in a playoffs is 11. He's already tied Michael Jordan in the 91-92 season. Okay? So he's already tied that. The record holders at 11 games, 30-point, 5-assist games in a single playoffs. 11 games. Jordan in 89. Jordan in 90. LeBron in 15. LeBron in 17. LeBron in 18. So he's already tied Jordan. And now he could do something, 30 points, 5 assists in games, that only Jordan and LeBron have ever done. The level to which he is playing and the class of which he is putting himself in. Granted, it's a single playoffs, but it is an historic run for what he is doing. Some other fun facts, if you will, about the Oklahoma City Thunder. They did lose a 42-point game about a week ago. They got demolished in Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals, losing to Minnesota. They're one of three teams that have lost by 40 and still won a series. You have to go back to the 76ers against the Celtics in 82. You have to go back to the Hawks against the Lakers in 1956. They lost by 42 there, but they are putting up big 30-point victories. They already have the record now for the most wins by 30 or more points in the postseason. The Cavs did it in 2016. They had three. The Jazz did it in 96. They had three. They lost to the Bulls. The Lakers did it in 1987. They had three. Cavs and Lakers won the title. Oklahoma City's done it four times. The Thunder have the fourth largest margin of victory in a conference finals clincher with 30 points, beating the Wolves 124-94 the other night. The highest in history was the Lakers in 1985, winning by 44. And they are the fourth youngest team to ever reach the NBA Finals with an average age of 25.3. The youngest teams were the Portland Trailblazers, winning a title in 77, the Knicks in 51, and the Sixers at just over 25 years of age in 1977. All of these things, in one way or another, unique and dominant, and just shows the testament of the resiliency and the youth and the hustle and the energy and the greatness of Oklahoma City. So when the Knicks or Pacers get there, we'll see. We'll see what will happen, but a team has to get there first. Marco Belletti eventually caught the game. How did that experience go? You had a Sun recital, and then you were able to start the DVR. Did it go as planned?
It did. Chorus, spring concert went well. Got home, got the two-year-old to sleep, all that. We let everybody go to bed, all the lights off, and then I put the DVR on roughly around 10:30, quarter to 11, and then
so
caught up from
there. Ended. I would imagine so.
I'll be fair. I didn't look at my phone to avoid any type of spoilers or alerts or anything like that. All my kids were at the house, so I knew it couldn't be anything that was overly serious, and just kind of watched the game.
Let me ask you a question on that first. Did you feel, knowing that the game was going to happen on your time, but it was happening in real time, did you feel shackled down to needing to know this information, or was it freeing in a sense for you?
It's not freeing. It sucks. Knowing that the game is already going on and I'm not watching sucks. Knowing that the game is probably over and I'm still in the first quarter sucks. All of it. But at the same time, I'd rather watch it in totality, not knowing, than any other way. Because all of it is not good, but there's no way, like, I can't just... Like, even the Knicks won, obviously, pretty easily all night long. You still, even if you see the scores, it doesn't give you the same mindset when you watch it back. You don't have the same, oh, man, they got to make sure they hold on to this. I got to watch it with the full range of emotions you're supposed to have if it's live.
So I don't know what is going to happen tomorrow night. I think I'm 33% the Knicks win this series. I'm 33% the Pacers win tomorrow, and I'm 34% the Knicks win tomorrow and the Pacers win when they go back to New York.
Yeah, the fan in me wants to believe, wants to say everything that the Knicks did in Game 5, they found the elixir, they look at the defense, the way they played, all that. I got to be fair, my heart of hearts, my gut still tells me they get run out of the building and they can't keep up with the Pacers, who wind up knocking down every three known to man, and they get into the 130s, and the Knicks have no chance on Saturday night.
You know, these, I don't think that the home court matters as much in the NBA as, there's some that matter more than others. But for it to matter, you really got to be into it. And I think in Milwaukee, like, we suck. We suck. We're terrible. We like, are embarrassed to cheer. But Oklahoma City's been great. They put their T-shirts on, which is big for me. The Celtics are always a team where it feels like every time a team plays there in the playoffs, Al Horford's hit three threes and you're down 20-5 by the first TV timeout. Indiana's a place where if you go down early, you know, it's going to be hard to come back. And they're going to be, knowing that they won't get a Game 7 back in Indiana, they're going to be as charged up as a fan base has been maybe all playoffs.
No, they're going to be nuts. And that's why, and they feed off that too. Like, it's also partly where the team kind of fits the mold for their fans, if it makes sense, because the Pacers want to pick up that tempo and they want to quicken the pace, and it allows them to kind of feed off the crowd, and it does kind of get into your opponent's head a little bit. Now, the one thing that I will say from a Knicks standpoint, from to be a fan, I think the Knicks can withstand that barrage early, that I don't think they're going to fold. I don't think they're a team that, oh, if they're down by double digits in the first quarter, you can kiss this one goodbye. No, they've shown that they've been resilient. They are gritty. They are tough. I don't expect them to quit. I just don't know if they have enough firepower in the fact of if the Pacers are running and playing in their offense and the Knicks are not able to slow them down enough, and it's just not just on the defensive side, but also just to kind of change the tempo a little bit, I don't think they have enough to keep up with them for four quarters. They've done a better job of going to the bench and going to lesser used players to be able to get some fresher legs in the fourth quarter where you can still have a chance, a fighting chance, you're not out of gas. But none of that stuff matters if Halliburton's hitting from the logo. And we saw he was invisible in Game 5. Would it surprise you if you put up a 40-point performance in Game 6? That's kind of the way he goes. So, yeah. I think the Pacers kind of go by him. So between the crowd, between Halliburton, I feel like it's a lot. The Knicks put themselves in a difficult spot where they have to have a must game and a Game 6 on the road, and I could see a lot of the Pacer players feeding off the crowd and feeding off Halliburton, who's probably going to have a big night.
Do you at least get to watch this game at its normal, natural time, or do we have more conflicts?
I don't have anything lined up per se, but I do have children that go to sleep roughly around these times. So I did mention as I left for work tonight, just an FYI to the wife, like, hey, the Knicks play tomorrow night, and the game starts at 8. She's like, well, I don't want to go anywhere. I said, whoa, I didn't say you had to leave the house. So I'm not expecting you to, you know, pack the kids up and put them in a kennel for the night. Like, I just want to be able to sit in front of the TV and actually watch the game when it's live. She just gave me a look, and I left. So I'm not really sure if that means that I'm going to be able to watch the game in totality live, or if I have to put on YouTube for some nonsense for my two-year-old to get him to calm down and go to sleep because my wife can't get him to. I don't know. I really don't know yet, Bart. I'll find out tomorrow. It's the joy of being a parent.
I think I picked the wrong wife.
I think it sounds like you told her you want to watch the Knicks, and she's like, I'm going to my sister's with the kids.
If she was going to her sister's with the kids, she's taking them with her. I'm good. That's fine with me. Go ahead. I just don't expect that.
I just want to watch the TV, man.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
all I want. I don't expect you to, like, you know, take the kids and
you
go in the
shed. One way out of here.
Yeah. I don't expect you to get on the Greyhound. I just want to be able to sit on my own couch in front of my own TV and watch it when it's live. Preferably without it being on mute with all the lights off. You know, like, can I get a little bit of ambiance? Can I get a little feel? So I don't know. It's possible that I might have to DVR and watch it at like 9:30 and get these kids to sleep first. I don't know. I'll find out tomorrow.
Well, Godspeed to you. Hopefully it's a good night for you and fellow Knicks fans. And again, no matter what happens, we will have all the action and maybe a Game 7 to talk about come Monday, 888-710.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update from Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
The biggest voices in sports.
They crowned their ass, but they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
The heartbreak.
Lynch in the backfield. Russell look, throws inside. Oh, my God, it's picked off at the goal line. It's picked off by Gus Butler. Intended for Lockett at the goal line. Oh, my word.
The celebrations.
Driving forward, diving to the goal line. A touchdown and a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Look at Brady. One more ring.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz. On the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network, it is Friday, May 30th, 2025. And we have a Game 6 tomorrow night in Indianapolis between the Knicks and the Pacers. Let's hear from the Knicks, Carl Anthony Towns, on what the message is going into Game 6.
I mean, first off, regardless of them changing a game plan, us, you know, changing our game plan and obviously doing different things, it has to start off with that desperation that we started with tonight. I thought that we did a great job coming out the gates off the jump ball 0-0 and applying pressure and having that energy that's needed, especially in a do or die game. So
it was so interesting to see the Knicks kind of play the Pacers role in this one. Look, both teams are competitive, both teams are good, but the Pacers do a really good job at not letting you get momentum on them. And when the Pacers had a bit of a run, when they cut it to 10, the Knicks were answering. Carl Anthony Towns, a big part of that. Now, part of that run that they were able to come up to was because Towns had to be on the bench because he was in foul trouble. They absolutely have to avoid that. And that's going to be a strategy for the Pacers, is to draw fouls against Jaylen Brown and to draw fouls against Karl Anthony Towns, especially Towns, because if they have to go to Mitchell Robinson, then they can hack him. And then if they take him out, it just goes right down the line. So look for that to be another storyline on Saturday night in Indiana.
Yeah, I say basketball was a game of runs, but Indy really didn't have that run yesterday. Final score was 111-94. Obviously, the Pacers still only need one game. So here's Pascal Siakam saying they're going to be better in Game 6.
We're up 3-2 in the series, and we have an opportunity to go back home and show what we're made of. And I have no doubt in my teammates, and I have so much faith in them. And, you know, I know that we're gonna give everything we got.
Like I said, I'm a third of the way for a Pacers win. I'm a third of the way for a Knicks win and then win Game 7, and I'm a third of the way for a Knicks win and a Pacers win Game 7 in New York. What is your read on it? Here's what I'm doing. Carlos, I have $1 million for you. If you get this series right, you get the $1 million. What do you pick?
Pacers 6.
Pacers tomorrow night.
Which is not what I went with this series when it first started. I say I had Knicks in 7. Just that game one loss, man. That's demoralizing. Let's go to the Oilers making their second straight trip to the Stanley Cup Final. Edmonton won the Western Conference. They eliminated the Dallas Stars with a 6-3 victory in Game 5 from Dallas. Connor McDavid, he led the way with a goal and an assist. And he says that they are in a better position to win this year when they lost to the Florida Panthers. This is a rematch of last year's finals. Here's Connor McDavid.
It hasn't been as emotional. We haven't had the highs and we haven't had the lows. Just kind of been steady. And I think that's put us in a good position. You know, those games can be emotionally draining. We're not drained.
Well, when you go to one and you lose, maybe you realize how to operate in the next one if you get back. That's what Florida did. This is their third Stanley Cup in a row. So they lost to Vegas a couple years ago, come back, beat Edmonton. Edmonton losing last year. Maybe they come back and beat Florida. I'm talking about some of the odds for the NBA Finals. The Thunder are going to be huge favorites, no matter who they play. Minus 700. Biggest favorites since the 2018 Warriors that swept the Cavs. The odds right now, Panthers are plus 100, Oilers minus 120. What does that mean? It means the Oilers have a 54% chance to win. What does that mean? It means it's a coin flip. So Canada, with a chance for their first cup in, what is it, 35 years? Edmonton could be the ones to do it. 33 years? It's a long time. It's 30-something years, which is still, that blows my mind. That's one of the more startling facts in sports to me, that Canada has not won a Stanley Cup since 1992? Insane.
Yeah, in a sport that they basically invented. We'll see. I know they'll face of the league conversations, very lazy, low-hanging fruit, but this is Connor McDavid's chance to be the face of hockey should the Oilers pull off and win the Stanley Cup. Let's go to college football because, you know, as always, the landscape is a-changing. Rules are different from season to season. Here is Big 12 Commissioner Brent Yormark on why they want not a 14-team playoff, but a 16-team playoff.
In talking to our ADs and coaches, we want to earn it on the field. The 5-11 might not be ideal for the conference, but it's good for college football, and it's what's fair. And we don't want any gimmies. We want to earn it on the field, and that was the direction of the key stakeholder group, the ADs and the coaches, and I feel very comfortable with that.
So what the holdup is in a lot of the discussions is if we go to 16, which it seems like everybody wants to do, how do we then give those berths out? And the SEC and Big Ten both think they should get 4 automatic qualifiers. And then they say, well, then the Big 12, you can have 2, and the ACC, you can have 2 as well, and then the rest will be at large. But the Big 12 and ACC feel like, well, just by doing that, you're putting us on a lower bar. We'd rather just say Big 10 champion gets in, SEC, Big 12, ACC, and then the next best. And then at large it. So that's where the holdup is. The SEC and the Big 10, I feel like they're trying to protect themselves against a situation that doesn't even happen. I took a look at the last 2 college football playoff tournaments. Even 2 years ago, what it would be as a 16-team playoff. And I will take a look at that coming up in a few minutes as to why this is so stupid for the SEC and the Big Ten to want 4 automatic qualifiers. We'll do that coming up.
All right, and let's switch gears to the NFL here. The Olympics will have flag football starting 2028. I think that's Los Angeles. Here is Travis Kelce, Merchant, Patrick Mahomes. He's asked, would he play in Olympic flag football?
It's awesome, honestly, just to be able to showcase the NFL to the whole world through flag football. But I'll probably leave that to the younger guys. You know, I'll be a little old by the time that thing comes around.
So, God, there's going to be 3 years of this. And then the games, there's going to be like 5 days of games. The hype that this event will receive is not worth it. I'm not participating in any of it. I don't even want to acknowledge it when it happens. I don't want to build my roster. I don't want to do my fantasy draft. I don't want to do any of it. I don't like it. If you're going to have NFL players in the NFL play flag football in the Olympics, they should be playing football in the Olympics. I don't think this is cute. I don't think this is cool. I don't think this is funny. I know I'm a curmudgeon on this, but I don't like it. It's like one of the 5 things I hate the most right now in the world, which is saying a lot, but it is up there. College football's getting up there too. The crazy ways they're acting. We'll have that next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.